Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma. We're getting near the end of the Masechta, beautiful Masechta. We are doing Daf Pei Hey today, and we're getting three lines from the bottom on Pei Dalet Omud Beis. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas William Weiler, Tzvi Avigdor Bereb Yosef HaKohen. All the chants we learn for Mitzvah Shem Shadav and Aliyah from our learning. And we begin again, three lines from the bottom on Pei Dalet Omud Beis. Yesterday we brought down a Shita, Amar of Yosef, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, we call the Shmuel Shita, that said that we do not follow the Rove when we're dealing with Pikuach Nefoshos. Ein Holchin Acha HaRov B'Pikuach Nefoshos. And we're going to say, did Shmuel really hold like that? Three lines in the bottom. Me or my Shmuel, Hachi, did Shmuel really say that? But nan, we learned in a Mishnah, this Mishnah is in Machshirin. Machshirin is one of those Masechtos that towards the end of Shas that are not well studied. They're dealing with the Dilem of Tumah and Tara. And it says there in the Mishnah in Machshirin, Motzo ba tinok mushlach. If you were to find Nebuch, a foundling, if you find a child that had been discarded by the family, a little baby, there was Nebuch left out on the doorstep. And you don't know what is the halachic status of this child. Is it a Jewish child? Is it a non-Jewish child? So, im rov kusim, if the majority of the people in that city are kusim, so then kusi, we halachically treat the child as a kusi. Im rov Yisrael, if the majority of children in this town are Yisraelim, so then we treat the child as a Yisrael. Im rov Yisrael, Yisrael. What happens if it's 50-50? Merza, merza. If it's 50 kusim, 50% Yisraelim, so then we treat the child also as a Yisrael. Now, for Yomar Rav, Rav said, this halachic status that we treat the child as a Yisrael, as Rashi points out, Dibur Masa Lo Shanu, Dim rov Yisrael, Machazikin Lili Yisrael, is only said by Rav in regards to Elul HaChayoso, and to support this child, to keep this child alive. Avol Liachso Lo, but in regards to Yichus, for example, Rashi says in the Dibur Masal Avol Liachso, Yodim Nekevahi, this little child is a foundling, is a girl, She Kohen Mutaba, is a Kohen allowed to marry this child or not? A Kohen's only allowed to marry a Jewish child. The Kohen is not allowed to marry a convert. So, lo, we do not treat this child as a yid in regards to halachic status for a Kohen to marry this child. We have to be concerned that this child is a kusi. Child will convert. And this is after the period of time when we weren't sure of the status of kusim. So at this point in time, we required the kusim to convert. We weren't sure that they were truly converts or not. Back from the days when the kusim entered Eretz Yisrael, so they were absolutely goyim. Sancheiriv was Mevalvel Olam, he messed up the world, and he transported the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael elsewhere, and those 10 tribes, the northern tribes, Malchus Yisrael is lost, and he brought in the people that lived in a place called Kuta to live in the Shomron, to live in Eretz Yisrael, and these people were Vaday Goyim. However, they converted because they were attacked by lions. And therefore, they said, maybe the God of this land wants us to convert. So they converted. These are called Geire Arroyos with an Aleph, not with an Ayin. And these conversions were always questioned, were they valid conversions or not? So at this point in time, they were considered invalid conversions, and the Kusim was considered like Goyim, and a Kohen was not allowed to go and marry a Kusi girl. So therefore, in this situation, we do not consider this child a yid. That's what Rav said. Only in regards to the obligation to keep this child alive do we consider it a Yisrael, but not in regards to Yichus. We turn to Pehei, and here's where we get our question. Ushmul Amar, Shmuel said, no, that we treat this child as a yid, lefakeach alav sagal. We go and are allowed to be Mechal Shabbos until you ascertain that this child Nebuch underneath this rubble of the building is alive or not. So you see from here that we're only allowed to do this because of the majority rule. But if it was a minority of Yidden, so then implication of Shmuel is that you wouldn't be allowed to do this. It's only in the case where it's Rov Yisrael that we treat it like Yisrael. He says, if it's Rov Kusim, we treat it like a Kusi. So you wouldn't be allowed to go and be Mechal Shabbos underneath this rubble, underneath the building, Nebuch the collapse, to go and save this child. So that seems to be a stira to what we said over here, Amar Yosef, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, that we ignore the Rov when it comes to Pikuach Nefoshos. So stira and Shmuel. So Gemara says, no. Ki itmar de Shmuel, when Shmuel made this statement over here, Aresha itmar, it's talking about the Resha. Im Rov Kusim, Kusi, so in that regard, Amar Shmuel, Ulinyan Pikuach Nefesh, Ein Okein. So that is where the Shmuel made a statement. Again, that's consistent with the statement that when it comes to Pikuach Nefoshos, the rov is ignored. Where it says, if that's true, so then in rov kusim kusi, so lemay hilchasa. So what is the halacha that that comes to teach us? So Amar Rav Papa, la'achilo nevelos, in regards to the din of nevelos. So this child, one is allowed to be assuming that they're not Jewish, and therefore, if you need to, you could feed this child nevelos. Not a mitzvah to feed anybody a nevela, but you'd be allowed to go feed this child nevela. You have to support this child, so therefore, you'd be allowed to go and give this child nevelos. Rashi explains further that if you're mechuyev to go and be mefakim olav esagal, so then kol shekein the mitzvah lachyosu, so certainly you have an obligation to keep the child alive. And therefore, the Lamai Hilchasa, that he's a kusi, if you have to keep him alive, so Rashi says that you give him nevelos ad sheyigodel, the kabbal of Geirus. Now, maybe he's a yid, so therefore, we sort of encourage him to become a convert, a real convert, a ger emes, when he becomes an adult, in order that you can know and ascertain his status now 100% for sure, because it's possible that he is a yid. So therefore, you make him vada yid by having him convert. Now that we ask the question, the Gemara says, in Rov Yisrael, Yisrael, that statement which we made here, if the majority of the people are Yisrael, then we treat them as Yisrael, L'may Hilchosa, in regard to what din do we treat them as a Vada Yisrael? So, L'hachzulo Avedoso, that you go and return an Aveda to him. The halacha is that you only return an Aveda because the Torah tells us that you should return an Aveda. Hashavas Aveda is only done not because it's nice thing to do, it's because that's what the Torah says that we're supposed to do. And we only have this obligation to turn an Aveda to a person who is a member of the club. And technically, if you find a lost item and it doesn't belong to a yid, so then we have the famous rule in English, finders keepers, losers weepers. So that's the default halacha, except when it comes to a yid, that you have an obligation to go and return it to the person. However, here, if it was machza al machza, so then one could apply the principle, no, you want your aveda back, I'm also mechaver, all right, prove to me that you're a yid, and then I'll be obligated to return it to you. Otherwise, sorry, finders keepers, losers weepers. So that's the implication of the statement, the Mirov Yisrael Yisrael, is in regard to Lahasu Lo Avidoso. Finally, the last section, Metzal Metzal, we consider him like a Yisrael, in regards to what din is that? Lamai Hilchasa. So I'm a Rish Lakish says, Lini Zokin, in regards to the Alochos of damages. Now, this is a very interesting din, that normally we know that there is a concept of a Shor Tam and a Shor Muad. If a Yid has an ox that has never gored before, and it gores somebody else's ox, so then for the first three times, it's considered a Tam, and we do not pay full damage, we pay what's called Chatzi Nezek, half damages. But once it becomes a Shor Muad, so then if your ox damages, and it's a Shor Muad, and it damages something else, so then you have to pay Nezek Shalim. But this din is a special, unique din that is only applicable when a Yid's ox gores another Yid's ox. If you have the halacha that a non-Jewish person's ox gores a Yid's ox, so then there is no such din of Shor Tam, Shor Muad, it's 100% damages have to be paid. And vice versa, when the Yid's ox gores an Akum's ox, so then there is no din of damages in that situation. And therefore, this is a unique din with Nizaki. So our Gemara here tells us that in regards to this din of Matzah Matzah, we consider like Yisrael, so Reish Lakish tells us, I'm Reish Lakish Linizokim, in regards to this din, we can treat this child as a yid. Now, Hechidami, what is the din? Inemor, if you're telling me, the Nachre Torah di Don, the Torah di Day, that if our ox, Vada Yid, gored this Matzah al Matzah child from the city of half Kusim, half Yisraelim, if you're telling me that that's the scenario, so then what's the Shaila? Nisi Raya Vinishko. Let him prove that he's a Yid, and then he can collect the money. Hamotzi Mechavera, all of a Raya. So therefore, in this situation, we wouldn't say Merzal Merzal Yisrael. That doesn't make any sense. Why would the din be that we could treat him as a Yisrael? So obviously, Lo Tzricha, we need it for the Nachei Torah Didei, that this Sofek, Merzal Kusim, Merzal Yisraelim, this Sofek person, his ox, the Nachi Torah Didei, the Torah Didon, gored a Vada Yid's ox. So the din would be, if it was a Tam, that if it was a Yid to another Yid, he'd only have to pay Chatzi Nezek. So therefore, in this scenario, Palga Yoevle, this Sofek, he has to pay the Chatzi Nezek, because that's a Vada. If he's a Yid, he has to pay Chatzi Nezek. If he's a Kusi, he has to pay Nezek Shalim. So clear cut, 50%, he has to pay. So Palga Yoevle, that's for sure. In regards to the other 50%, Idach Palga, he could say, name Olay, this Sofek could say, listen, you want me to pay the rest because you say I'm a Kusi? Prove it. I see Raya, the Lav Yisrael Anah, prove that I'm a Kusi, and then Ushkol, and then you're right, I'll pay you the other 50%. But until then, Hatmotzi Mechaver Olav Raya, you have to go and prove that I'm a kutsi before I have the obligation to pay the second half of the chatzi nezek. Okay, so that's the way Shmuel would understand this Mishnah in Machshirin. Gemara continues and quotes on Mishnah. Mishnah of Mapolsuchule. We said Rechmon Lassan, if a building collapsed. Again, I say it again, we're still in the middle of this time where we don't know what happened to so many people. Nebuch, it's getting much, much, much less likely that anybody will be found in Yitzhak Shem Eloi, but we still daven and pray that all the people in that building, the family should have a nechama, and those that are alive in Yitzhak Shem should be found as soon as possible if there is such an opportunity. So in any event, Mishmoav, Allah of Mapolos Uchule, we said in our Mishnah that if a building falls down and it's on Shabbos and you don't know who's in this building, so then we had three statements that we made in our Mishnah. First, we said, Safik Usham, Ein Usham. First, Safik was, is he there or is he not there? Second one was, Safik Chai, Safik Meis. Is he alive? Is he not alive? Somebody is there, but we don't know if they're alive or dead. And the third one was, Safik Kusi, Safik Zwa. Was he a Kusi or was he a Yisrael? So we said in the Mishnah on Pei Gimel, Lamed Aleph, we said that there were three scenarios. Now, my Kamar, our Gemara now asks, what is the Mishnah telling us with all three of these scenarios? What was the Chiddush of each one? I got it. You're telling me if this is Safik, you're allowed to go and check for the person even on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, no, Lomud Boye Kamar. Mishnah is telling me, each one telling me something that I need to know. Lo, me boy, you don't have to tell me in the situation of Safik Usham, Safik Ein Usham, in that scenario where you don't know if a person's there or not, that certainly is allowed to go and be mefakin lovis agal, because the Isa chayhu, because if he's there, he's alive. So therefore, mefakin. Of course you can go and remove all the rubble, do Yisurim Daraisa, to save this person. Ella, the next part is, El afilu safek chai safek meis. We know somebody's there. We don't know if they're alive or dead. So even in that situation, mefakin, you're certainly allowed to go and still remove all the debris in order to go rechmon olislam to see if the person is alive or dead. Velomi boy safek chai safek meis. And even in a situation where it's a safek chai safek meis of a yisrael, okay, so then you're allowed to definitely do it. El afilu, the last scenario was afilu if it's a safek kusa safek yisrael. Also, still mefakin. Every one of these scenarios, you're allowed to go and be mefakin. That's the chiddush of having all three scenarios in the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah said, "Mitzo chai mefakin." If they find him and he's alive, of course you're allowed to clear away all the debris. And the Gemara says, "Pshita, mitzo chai pshita." What type of din are you telling me? If you find the person in distress, of course you're allowed to go and continue to do everything to save his life. So what says, no, the Zechidah shall be a lotzricha, tafilu l'chayisha, rechmona l'tzlan. If you find the person and he's having his last gasps of breath, Nebuchadnezzar, he has a crush injury, he's going to die in 5 minutes. So you might say, well, listen, he's going to die in 5 minutes, it's only chayisha. I'm not going to be mechal Shabbos for chayisha, for a temporary extension of life. So the Chiddush of our Mishnah is no. If he's alive, even though he's in a very extreme, difficult situation, and your best medical trauma experts say this guy's going to die in 10 minutes, nevertheless, even for a chayisha, you're allowed to go and clear all the debris and do whatever you need to do to keep this person alive, even for an extra 2 minutes. Then the Gemara says, "V'meis yanichu." If he's dead, Nebuch, you leave him over there. So the Gemara says, again, "Hanami pshita." The person, Nebuch, is dead. What's the purpose of doing any Yisurim Dereis in this situation? You're not letting go and clear the rubble if the person Nebuch is dead. So the Gemara says, no. Lo tzricha, you need this for the following din. Elul Rav Yehuda ben Lakish. Rav Yehuda ben Lakish. So what did Rav Yehuda ben Lakish say? The Tanya, Rav Yehuda ben Lakish said, Ei matzilin es ha-meis v'pnei ha-deleika. Lina b'raisa, the Tanakam of this raisa says that you're not letting go and save a person, Nebuch, who's dead, who's in the path of a fire. Nebuch, somebody had a heart attack and he died and there's a fire coming and you're not allowed to move that dead person, the Tanakhama says, because, after all, you're not allowed to do something like that on Shabbos because you're not doing it for Bikuch Tefashos. Nebuch, the person is dead, and the person is Nebuch Muktzah. Dead person is Muktzah. You're not allowed to move a dead person, and therefore, even though the fire is coming, Nebuch, he's going to have to be burned by the fire. We're not allowed to go and save this dead person. He's already dead. Vaday dead. That's the Tanakhama's opinion in this brisa. And Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish tells us, Shamati, I heard that you are allowed to go. And in fact, Shematzilin es hameis b'pnei hadleika, you can go and remove the dead body, even though you're going to be moving the dead body, you're allowed to move the dead body because of this fire that is coming. Now, this is a Tosefta that we have in the Gemara in Shabbos. This is the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. It's not Reish Lakish. And we heard, he said, that you're allowed to go and move this body. Now, the reasoning for doing so, the Gemara will explain in a moment. So, the first part is the question here, that it's not so posh that you're not allowed to move a dead body. We see that Rav Yehuda ben Lachish does allow you to go and remove a dead body. So, the Gemara is telling us here that it's not so poshut, the emes yanichuhu, because you have the opinion of Rav Yehuda ben Lachish. So Gemara says, so then why do we in this situation say that you aren't allowed to move the mace in the rubble? Rav Yehuda ben Lachish says you are allowed to move the mace from the fire, so why doesn't the Tana Rav Yehuda ben Lachish say that you're allowed to move the mace over here? If you find the mace in the rubble, you're not allowed to move the mace, even according to Rav Yehuda ben Lachish. So Gemara says, Bafilu Rav Yehuda ben Lachish, he only said, Lo kamar ela mitosh adam bala meso. He only allowed you to move the mace from the fire, because if the person sees that his relative is about to be Nebuch torched by this fire, even though the person is dead, his relative is dead, the person that he cares about, Nebuch, is dead, but he sees he's going to be burned by the fire, he's going to be bahul al meso. He's going to be nervous and worried. Oh my God, it's bad enough that he died. Now he's going to get burned. He's going to be Nebuch cremated over here by this fire. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to put the fire out. He's going to be doing an issa d'oraisa. So therefore, we would much rather him move the mace, which is only an issa d'rabbanan, rather than having him possibly put out the fire, which would be an issa d'oraisa, at least, or some suggest it's close to an issa d'oraisa. It looks like an issa d'oraisa, because technically, if you're putting out the fire, not for the purposes, it's called a malach shein tzrich l'gufa, and technically might only be an issa d'rabbanan. In any event, the bottom line is that we have permitted you, according to Rav Yehuda ben Lachish, to put out the fire in that situation because Adam is Baal Ameso. We have a concept, Adam is Baal Amamona. We allow certain things in Hilchos Shabbos to be done, because if you don't allow the person to transgress a Dirabbanan, he may end up transgressing a Daraisa. So the rabbis never instituted the Dirabbanan in that situation, because the whole purpose of the Dirabbanan is to make a Geder and to protect Shabbos. If you do this, it's actually going to cause a Chilul Shabbos. So therefore, the rabbis never instituted their din, their rabbanon, under these circumstances. So in the case of Nebuch, a person dying, his person is dead, and there's a fire coming, so Rav Yehuda ben Lachish says the rabbis never instituted that you can't move the mace in that situation, and therefore you're allowed to move the mace because of the concern that you come to do an issa d'oraisa. But that's in the case of the fire. So Yisharis, lay Osi l'chabuya, if you don't allow him to go and move the dead person, he's going to put out the fire. Now, Aval Hacha, the case in Nebuchadnezzar, the building that collapsed, Elo Sharisle. If you say, oh no, we're not going to let you move the mace, sorry, it's going to do Isurim Daraisa by moving all the debris, so what's the guy going to do? There's no concern that he'll be Chmachala. Well, there's no fire to put out. There's no Isser that we're concerned about if we don't let him do this, even though he's Baal Ameso. There's nothing that he can do. So therefore, the rabbis did institute, even according to Ibn Lakish, the normal Isurim that are involved in removing the debris. So this seems to imply that it's only a Durabbanan. This whole discussion, is this a Daraisa or Durabbanan over here in removing any of the debris? But it seems to suggest over here that you wouldn't be allowed to do anything in this situation for the mace underneath the rubble once you've certified and ascertained that he's the mace, he's the only mace that's there. Therefore, you can't do anything because there's no potential to be over in Issa Daraisa, because even if he's Baal Ameso, there's no concern here that he'll do in Issa Daraisa. Now we get into a sugi that is one of the most important sugis in terms of medical halacha. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the following brisa, Ad Heichan Hu Bodek, Nebuch, you find these bodies underneath all of this debris that fell down from the building, and you see that this person is there, but you find them by his feet. So you don't know, is he alive or is he dead? So Ad Heichan Hu Bodek, how do you determine death? What is the halachic definition of death? This has unbelievable huge ramifications in terms of our abilities today to keep a person alive on a respirator, when you can have a person that on his own would not be able to breathe, but on a respirator can have respirations. And to a smaller extent, with heartbeat, we can detect heartbeats when the person really is not having adequate circulation. And then we have the additional factor of brain death, a new idea. And how does halacha envision brain death? Again, one of the most controversial areas in medical halacha. So we're just going to touch the surface over here and give you a little flavor for what some of these issues are. So the Gemara asks in this brisa, how do you check that a person is alive or dead? How much of the body do you have to check to say, yes, Nebuch, this person is dead, or Baruch Hashem, this person is alive? So the first opinion is ad chotmo. You check four respirations. They would check to see if the person was breathing by putting a feather or something by his nose and seeing if it moved. If there was any movement, If you could detect any respiration, so the person was obviously alive. But if you could not detect any movement of air, in other words, according to this opinion, respiration is the critical factor, is a person alive or dead? So then, ad chotmo, if you checked and see no respiration, the person is vade dead. You don't have to check for a heartbeat. You don't have to check anyplace else. If there's no respirations, vade dead. Others say, no, v'yeshomim ad libo. You have to check to see if there's what we call circulation. If his heart is beating, so then the stomach, he's still alive. So these are the two major opinions. Respiratory death or circulatory death. Now, bodak u'motzo el yonim mesim. Now we have another din over here. If you find the people in the higher layers of the rubble, that they're all dead. So don't assume, don't lo yomar, don't say, oh, if the upper people are dead, certainly the people lower down in the rubble certainly are dead. You don't have the halachic right to assume anything when it comes to pikuach nefashos. Lo yomar kvar mesu atachtonim. You don't say, well, listen, the first nebuch bodies that we find in the top layer of the rubble as we're removing it are all dead, so obviously everybody down below is also dead. No. Lo yomar kvar mesu atachtonim, but you continue to remove all the debris until you ascertain nebuch that there are no other bodies are on. As with Hashem, you do find people that are still alive. Now, Maisa Hoya, there once was a Maisa Shahoya where building Nebuch collapsed, Umatsu Yonim Mason, and they found that the top layer, Nebuch of the debris, had only people that were dead in it. However, they did find the Sachtonim Chaim, and did find some people underneath the rubble. Every now and then it does occur that somebody's in a pocket, he somehow was protected, the rubble didn't collapse totally and crush everybody, and yeah, on the top maybe they passed away, but on the bottom there could be somebody that still is alive. So Maisa Shaya, and that proves that it's not a vadai, that if you find the top layer of people, Nebuch, dead, that automatically the bottom layers, the lower layers, are also going to automatically be dead, and you have the right halachically to go, and you have a sagal in that situation. So Gemara says, this machlok is over here, between the first tana that says up to the nose, you have to check ad chotmo, versus the tana that said ad libo, up to the heart, respiratory versus circulatory death. Let us say, that this machlokas tanoi that we just worked out in the first tana rabbanon is paralleling this machlokas that we have over here between the following tanoim in the following brisa, the tanya. Because it says in this brisa over here, and this is a brisa from Sota, and it says, the tanya, mehechon havlad notzar. Where does a baby begin to be made? In other words, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts a baby inside a mother, how's that baby formed? From what part of the body is the initial baby being made? So the Tanakhama over here says, Merosho, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, first makes the head, and then the rest of the body grows from the head. And this is based upon a Pasuk, the Pasuk in Tehillim, that says, Shenemar, Mimei Imi Atagozi. David HaMelech says that you took me out of my mother's uterus. You took me out of my mother's womb. Mimei Imo, from the insides of my mother, Atagozi. Now it uses this lashon of gozi. Now, what does the word gozi mean? So it says in Yirmiyahu, the Omer, gozi nizrech vashlichi. It says, take out, gozi, pull out your hair. Nizrech is a word that we use for hair. That's why a nazir is referred to as a nazir. Gozi nizrech vashlichi, and throw it away. Now, this lashon we see of gozi is referring to the hair, the head. And therefore, when it says, Shenemar, mimei imi atogozi, you made me from the head. And that's the Tanakhama over here in this Brisa in Sota telling us that the Vlad is Notzar from the head. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Abishol disagrees. Abishol Omer Mitiburo. He's made from the umbilical area, from the belly button area, from the middle of the body. Abishol Omer Mitiburo. The baby is Notzar. And this is based upon Meshaleach Sharashov Eloch V'Eloch. This is based upon, like, the practical considerations, that you start off in the middle of the body and you grow some up towards the head and you grow some up towards the toes. So that's what Abba Shaul says. He doesn't bring a pasuk to support his shita. He says this is the obvious, the practical facts. You start off in the middle and you grow outwards in all the different directions. So this machlokas, we want to suggest between the Tanakhama and Abba Shaul, parallels our machlokas and our Tana Rabbanan and our Brisa. Well, we said that it's either respiratory or circulatory. So we say that the one that says it's from the head, the Tanakhama, Mestama, he holds that it's the respiratory. And the one who says it's from Tiburo, Abishol, that Mestama is the one that says Ad Libo. So Gemara says, Lav Dafka. Afilu Tema Abba Shaul. You could not necessarily say that Abba Shaul only says that it's dealing with circulatory death, Ad Libo. He could also hold Ad Chotmo. Why is that? Ad Kan Lo Kamara Abba Shaul. In regards to this brisa from Sota that's talking about how is the baby made, so there he says it makes sense to say that the baby is made, so to say, from the middle, and then it grows up and it grows down. The rest of the body is extending out from the tiburo area. They call midei mimitziyasa mitzah, because if you're making something, you started off from the essence, from the middle, and then you build around it. You grow out from it. So that's in regards to being made, in regards to notzar, havlad notzar from the middle. But in regards to avolinyan pikuach nefashos, avolinyan pikuach nefesh, maybe Abba Shaul also agrees. Afilu Abba Shaul mode deikar chiyutso ba'apehu. Maybe he also agrees that circulatory death, the heart demonstrating no heartbeat, that's not good enough. You have to demonstrate no respirations, because respirations are the critical aspect of life, because as the pasuk says, the ksiv in Bereishis, Kol Asher Nishmas Ruach Chaim Bi'apov. Right? In Parshas Noach, it tells us that Nishmas Ruach Chaim Bi'apov. Everything that is critical refers to life breathing. So therefore, the Ruach Chaim is Bi'apov in a person's nose. So maybe Abba Shaul, as a machlokis with the Tanakhama in regards to where a vlad is notzer, but there is no machlokis in regards to the definition of death. It's only respiratory death, possibly even according to Abba Shaul. On Rapapa says, Machlokes mimata lamala. This machlokes over here is only in regards to if you started to search the body from the bottom, from the feet, lamala. And you find the body, you find the feet, and you go up the body, and you don't find any circulatory evidence, the heart isn't beating. So then the Tana who says, Vieshomim ad libo, says you can stop. But the one who says ad chotmo says you have to continue. That's where the machlokas is. That's when you're checking from the legs up. So you first reach the heart, and then you reach the respiratory. One Tana says it's enough to say that there's no heart beating. They can stop. The person's nebuch dead. The one says, no, maybe you can't detect the heartbeat, but there's really respirations going on, and you still have to go check. That's only if you're going from the feet up. However, if you're going from the head, you find the head first, and you see that there is no respirations, so then everybody, even the one who says circulatory death, that opinion says that you can't have any circulation if there's no respiration. He's mode that respiratory death is absolute death. His question is, do you also say that circulatory death without proving that there's respiratory death is enough? So he says, yes, circulation can exist. If there's no circulation, the person can't be alive. You don't have to prove that there's also no respirations. Whereas everybody agrees that if there's no respirations, even the body play at chotmo, if there is no respiration, then it's impossible for this person to be alive. There's no such example of a person being able to breathe and at the same time having circulation. That doesn't exist. This passage from Noach, Parshas Noach. So therefore, everybody agrees that respiratory death means the person Nebuch is dead. Again, I said, we're just touching the surface over here. There are so many halachal amaisa, major questions that have not been fully resolved. The major differences upon the modern day poskim, and how does this impact a person, for example, who has brain death? His heart is beating. His lungs are being circulated because of a respirator. So is this person alive? Is this person dead? What about in situations? Well, we can artificially keep the person on a respirator. So their heart is stopped, but they're still on a respirator. So there are so many, many different questions that come up halacha l'maaseh in this. The biggest one is really the brain death question, but we have to go weiter now. We already spent a lot of time on this, but Baruch Hashem, very interesting sugya. Should only be l'hagdil Torah l'adira. We shouldn't have these questions halacha l'maaseh, which unfortunately we do every single day. Now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elozman, and Azariah Mahalcha Madera. These three great Tanoim were walking on the road, and they had the Talmidim with them. The Levi Hasador. Why was he called Levi Hasador? So a number of reasons are given. This is according to the Yavetz. This is his Masader Shmuos HaChachamim. He would arrange all the halakos of the Chachamim. So he was known as Levi Hasador. The Siach Yitzchak says that he would arrange all the brisos. So therefore he was called the Masada, the one that arranged the brisos. The Besor Sashas here has different kirsos. It says Levi Hasorod. If you look in Os Hey in the Masoras Hashas, he says the Gears is Levi Asarod Pirish. One of the Gonim said, Yeshom Shoya Oseh Big Day Srod, Lifi Koch Nichor Srod. He made various types of clothing, and therefore he was known as Levi Hasad Asarod. Oshoya Oseh Kli Srod. He would make various types of mesh type of netting, Kigdom Mitsudos, and that's why he was known as Levi Hasarod. Then others have the Girsa. You can see this in the Siach Yitzchak, and he says that it's Levi Hasayod, that it's Levi the plasterer. This was his occupation, and he was known as Levi Hasayod. In any event, he was one of the Talmidim of these three great Tanoim, Levi Hasador, I'll keep the gears that we have, and also Rabbi Shmuel, Menoshe Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's son. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was the father, and his son was with them as well. So these five great, great Torah scholars were all walking together with the two Talmidim, this Levi Hasador and Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Mahalchen Acharev. They were walking behind them, and they're subservient to their Rabbeim, and we don't find them mentioned at all further in the story. It's just telling us the Maisa Shehoya, because we're going to ask for Tanoic opinions on how do we know the source of Pikuach Nefashos. That's the purpose that this story is being brought in now, and therefore they're mentioned because they were part of the story, but since they wouldn't speak up in front of the Rabbeim, so their opinions aren't recorded. In any event, Nishalo Sheilo Zubifneim, a question was asked in front of all of them. Some suggest it was only in front of the latter two, Levi Asador and Rishon Benosho of Elazar and Raziah, but they didn't answer because their Rabbeim were there. Others suggest no. The simple answer was this question was asked to the entire group, and obviously only the three great Tanoim, who were the Rabbeim, spoke up. So the Shaila was asked this following, we've been speaking throughout this last couple of days, and of course, Bikuach Nefashos is Docha Shabbos. What's the source for that? How do we know that that's true? So, we find the opinions of these Tanoim as follows. Nana, Rabbi Shmuel v'Omar. Rabbi Shmuel spoke up and he said, we had the famous pasuk that if a robber comes in hiding, he comes in and tunnels into your house, so the halach is you're allowed to go and kill him. Simba machteris imotzi aganov. If you find a ganov coming in through a tunnel to your house, you're allowed to go and kill him. Now, it's only a sofik if he's going to go kill you. So, umazeh shesofik amamun bo, sofik anafoshes bo. This guy is coming into your house. He's coming to rob you. Maybe he'll kill you, maybe he won't kill you. Nevertheless, the Torah says, you're allowed to go kill him. So, Ushvichas Domin Metami Yisra'aretz, V'gorim L'shchina Shetistalik Yisrael. Now, this is a terrible thing to go kill somebody, and yet the Torah lets you do it over here. Why is it such a terrible thing to kill somebody? So, number one, it's Metami Yisra'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't stand when there's murder. It destroys the earth. It's Metami the earth. And it causes V'gorim L'shchina Shetistalik Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't stand to be with people like this. And nevertheless, as horrible as it is to go kill somebody, the owner of this house is Ditan Latzil Benashi. He's allowed to save his life, even in a suffix situation that this Ganav is coming in with Machteris is going to kill him. So certainly, if in a suffix situation, you're allowed to go and kill somebody, so Kal v'chomer, Lepikuach Nefesh, Shadoch HaShabbos, Rabbi Shmuel says, certainly, if you can actually kill somebody because he may cause loss of life, so certainly you can go and be mefakeh chesagah. You can go be mechal Shabbos. It's pushed aside Shabbos to save a life. That's Rabbi Shmuel's reasoning. Then Rabbi Akiva of Yamar, Rabbi Akiva speaks up and he says as follows: the chiyazid ish al reyehu largo biyamor miyim is bechiti kachenu lamus. I'm dealing here with a kohen who nevach is accused of being a murderer, and he tries to go to the Beis HaMikdash and do avoda. So I'm doing avoda. You can't go and take me. So the pasuk says, if he's me'im mizbechi, if he's only next to the mizbeach, it doesn't say ba mizbechi. It says me'im mizbechi tikachenu lamus. You're allowed to go and take this kohen. And if he was a murderer and you have edim, etc., asra, and the Beis Din paskin, so you can take him even me'im mizbechi. Me'im mizbechi, v'lo me'al mizbechi, but not if he's on the mizbeach. If he's actually doing the avoda, so you have to wait till he's done with the avoda. Now, how is this a raya to Pikuach Nefashos? The Amar Rabba Barachana, Amar of Yochanan, they explain Rabbi Kiva as follows: Lo Shanu Elo Lahomis. You're dealing over here, and you want to take this Kohen. He's had witnesses against him, and he is going to be taken out to be killed. So, therefore, if he's Me'im Mizbechi, you're allowed to take him. If he's Al Mizbechi doing the avoda, you have to wait till he's done with the avoda. So, Rabba Barachana said in the name of Yochanan that this din was only taught if you're going to actually take this Kohen to put him to death. So then you have to wait till he's done with the Avoda. However, we turn to Pehei Amud Beis, Abu Lahachios. If this Kohen is not a murderer, he's a very nice guy, but he knows testimony for somebody that's about to be taken out to be killed. There is another person, there's Yankel, that's been accused of murder. He was given warning in Asra, and you have Edim, and they're about to take Yankel out. He was passing to death. They're about to take him out to go and kill him. And this Kohen knows Avoda. So it says, Abu Lahachios, if he knows testimony for this person, in such a situation, if he's admitting the avoda, he's doing the avoda for pikuach nefashos, you're allowed to go and have him stop doing the avoda to save this other person's life. And here's the raya. This Kohen who's giving testimony, maybe his testimony will be accepted, maybe his testimony won't be accepted. We don't know. So therefore, he may or may not save a life. It's only a sofek pikuach nefashos situation that his testimony will save this life. Now, avoda is critically important. Avoda is doche Shabbos. So the Beis HaMikdash, they do all sorts of avodas that are obligated to be done on Shabbos. So clearly, the avoda is more important in some ways than Shabbos. So avoda is doche Shabbos. And yet we see over here that his sofek pikuach nefashos testimony is doche the avoda. So it's a kal v'chomer lepikuach nefesh doche the Shabbos. So if this situation of Sofi Pikuach Nefashos is Docha the Avoda, and the Avoda is Docha Shabbos, so it's a Kal V'chomer that Sofi Pikuach Nefashos is also Docha Shabbos. That's Rabbi Akiva's argument. Finally, the third Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Nenner Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he says, this is the reasoning. Uma Milo Shi Echad Mi Mosayim V'Yarboi Mishmona Evarim Shabi Adam, to do a Bris Mila, which is one of the 248 Evarim of a person. So you're allowed to do a bris milah on Shabbos. If it's b'yom hashmini yimol b'sar l'so, you do a bris milah on Shabbos. I was born on Shabbos. My bris milah was on Shabbos. So if a bris milah, which is just a small part of a person, it's one of the 248 evarim of a person, that's doches Shabbos. So Elazar ben Azariah says, certainly, kal v'chomer, to save the entire guf, right? You're saving the milah by allowing it to be doches Shabbos. So alach es kama v'kama. Kal v'chomer kol gufo shedoches Shabbos. So these are the three Tanoim that were walking here. Each of them gave a totally different reason for why Safi Pikuach Nefashos is Dochas Shabbos. Each one is not mutually contradictory. Each one is its own separate proof. Now we bring an additional Tanoim, not part of the story of the three Tanoim walking with their two Talmidim. Rabbi Yosef Huda Omer, he says the following is the reason that Safi Pikuach Nefashos is Dochas Shabbos. Because the Pasuk says, Es Shabsosai Tishmoru, you have to go and observe Shabbos. Yochol Lakol, I might think that this would include even Pikuach Nefashos. You're not allowed to be Docha Shabbos, even for Pikuach Nefashos. Talmud Omer says, Ach es Shabsosai Tishmoru. So the word Ach is Chilek. It comes to say, sometimes yes, you have to observe Shabbos, but sometimes no. Sometimes you don't observe Shabbos, sometimes you have to be Docha Shabbos for Pikuach Nefashos. That's what Rabbi Yosef Rehuda says. Rabbi Yonas and Yosef Omer, another reason, this is the fifth reason we now have. The Pasuk says, Ki Kodesh Hi Lochem, Shabbos is Kodesh to you. Now, He Mesura B'yedchem, V'lo Atem Mesura M'yoda. So Shabbos is to serve you, so to say, and not you to serve it. Shabbos is given over to the Jewish people to observe, but not at the cost of your life. V'lo Atem Mesura M'yoda, you're not given over to Shabbos. So that is the fifth reason, the reason of Rabbi Yonas and Yosef. And finally, we have a sixth reason over here, Rabbi Shimon Menasseh Omer. He's the sixth Tanoic answer, and he says, V'shamu b'nei Yisrael l'sa Shabbos, right? The Kiddush that we say on Shabbos morning, famous pasuk. V'shamu b'nei Yisrael l'sa Shabbos teaches us, Omra Torah, Chalel olav Shabbos achas, k'dei sheyishmor Shabbos usharbe. It says you have to observe the Shabbos, and that means that you sometimes have to even desecrate the Shabbos in order to be able to serve many, many future Shabbosos. So it's kedai to desecrate one Shabbos to allow the person to live to be Shomer hundreds and hundreds of more Shabbos, and hopefully Be'ezus Hashem in the future. Now, these are all six Tanoic statements that were made. Along comes the Gemara and tells us one Amora. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Shmuel, who's an Amora, lived later on, said, E Havoy, awesome. If I'd been there, Mistami's talking about during that conversation when the five of them were walking and the three Tanoim gave the answer, and these other three Tanoim then gave other answers. He says, if I'd been around at that time, I had a better answer than all of them, because I would have said the Pasuk v'chai b'hem, a person has to go and live by the Torah, v'lo sheyamus b'hem, and not that you should die by the Torah. In other words, a person should fulfill the Torah, and in order to fulfill the Torah, you have to sometimes desecrate the Shabbos. And the Gemara says, Amar Rabba l'chulu islu pircho. The six Tanaic statements that we had, you could schlug everyone up. There's a flaw in every one of their arguments. The only one that doesn't have a flaw, Barmi de Shmuel. The Amor Shmuel, the less le pircho. He has no way to schlug him up. Now, what would you schlug up the other six Tanoim? So he says, you can schlug up Rabbi Yishmael in the following way. The Rabbi Yishmael, the person coming in the tunnel, that maybe he'll kill you, maybe he won't. No, Dilma kid the Rabba. Maybe he holds like Rabba. And Rabba had said, the Yama Rabba, my time of the Makteris. Why is it specifically telling us that he's tunneling in over here, that he's coming in through this tunnel, that you're allowed to go kill him? Because Chazaka, you know, the Mamet Aswa Mamono. We have a rule that a person will go and defend his property. Right? You're not going to just stand idly by when somebody's taking your property. So this guy, this Ganav coming in, knows that this guy's going to kill him. So therefore, he is vaday going to kill the house owner if he encounters him. But I made the other, the koi la pevi omar. This Ganav knows that the house owner is going to kill him, the Ganav, if he encounters him. So therefore, the Ganav says, I koi la pai, katil nolay. I'm vaday going to go kill him. It's not a safi pikuach lefashos. You have the halachic right, if somebody's vade coming to kill you, to go and kill them. But you can't bring me a riot from here that this is a sofik pikuach nefashos, that you're allowed to go and be doche Shabbos. You're allowed to go and be doing anything except for the three cardinal sins to save a life. So all this would tell us would be a vade pikuach nefashos situation, but sofik milan. You wouldn't be able to learn out a sofik pikuach situation from over here. So therefore, Rabbi Yishmael's teretz is not a perfect teretz. Similarly, with all the other tanoim, we only mentioned some of them in the Gemara, the Rabbi Akiva Nami. Rava says that Rabbi Akiva also is not a perfect teretz. Why? Sofi pikuach nefashos docheh Shabbos, because Rabbi Akiva had said that you can even stop the avoda for this. So dilma kedabaye. That's like the sheet of Abaye. What did Abaye say? Dilma Abaye masrinon lei zuga derabbanan. Abaye said that you go and send along a pair of tamidei chachamim to go and make sure that he actually has something substantive to go and stop the Beis Din from carrying out the din of Misa that they're supposed to give to the person. Otherwise, any Tom, Dick, and Harry can just say, oh yeah, I have testimony. They have to bring the guy back to Beis Din, and that would delay the process of killing this person. So they would send along two Talmidei Chachamim, by he said, Masrinon le zugo de Rabbanon, leida imamish v'dvarav, or not, to see if he does have something substantive to say, or not. Ba'ashkon vade. So therefore, in this situation, they would send along two Talmidei Chachamim. This coin definitely had something to say, so therefore they brought him back. So for Vadei Bikoch Lefoshos, it's Doche the Avoda, and therefore it's Doche Shabbos. So therefore, we'd only know that for Vadei. But similarly, like we had with the Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva's Din would only teach us Vadei. Sofei Minolam, we wouldn't know Sofeik. And the Rava says, likewise, V'chulon Ashechon Vadei. The same thing applies to all the other four Tanoic proofs that we had, that all of them are only dealing with a Vadei Pikoach Nefoshos. So let's go through them real quick. So the third Tana was Rilozo Nazariah, and he said about Bris Mila. So that's also not a Sufik situation. That was a baby Vada born on Shabbos. But what about if it was a Sufi situation, born Ben Hashmashos? In that situation, it's not Dolche Shabbos. If the baby's born on Friday afternoon, you're not sure if it's Friday, you're not sure it's Shabbos, you don't do the Bris Mila on Friday, you don't do the Bris Mila on Shabbos, you wait till Sunday. So to Avia, maybe Sufik B'chun Hashmashos is not Dolche Shabbos. Likewise, the next Tana, which was Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, he said, the Pasuk Es Shabshosai Tishmoru. And Ach came to be Mechalik. So who says that Ach includes a Sofek situation? So therefore, that's not a perfect Raya. The fifth Tana, Rabbi Yonis and Yosef, he said, Ki Kodesh Hilochem, he Misur B'yetchem, that's only Vada is Misur B'yetchem, but not a Sofek. And the final sixth Tana, Rabbi Shimon Menasya, he said, V'shom Menesel Tse Shabbos, Amar Torah Chila Lov Shabbos Achas, Vada, Kidei Shishmor Shabbos Asarbe. But who says a Sofek situation as well? So therefore, the only opinion that doesn't have a slugging it up is the opinion of Yehuda Amar Shmuel. And that's what Rava says. V'kulon ashkon vaday, they only deal with vaday, sofi binolon, and therefore Udi Shmuel, Yehuda Amar Shmuel, vaday les le pircha. He's the only one that can't be slugged up, because he said, v'chai bahem, that applies under all circumstances, sofik and vaday. And therefore the Gemara says, Amar Ravina, or Ivitema, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, they said, tova chada pil pelta charifa, Mimelo tzana de kare. One very sharp pepper, referring to one amora, who's very, very sharp, Shmuel, is better than a basketful melo tzana of kare, of various types of gourds or melons. In other words, all of these great tanoim, so their proofs weren't as good as the single proof that the amora, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, said. Let's go right to the next Mishnah. Tells us a chatas, if a person has an obligation to bring korban chatas, which is mechaper for certain types of sins, like a lo saseh, it's a capital lo saseh, yechayv karis for it, or a misa for it, or an ashim vaday. This is a korban that's brought, one of the six ashim vadays that we have. We say them every morning in the davening. So these are mechaper, they atone for a person who does a sin. Misa and Yom HaKippurim, they are mechaperin im ha-tshuva. They are not mechaper by themselves. They also have to have tshuva along with them in order for them to work as a kapara and an atonement for a person. And tshuva mechaperes al averos kalos. Tshuva by itself can be mechaper on, quote, averos kalos, on lighter types of averos. Alasei, alosasei, for example, on a regular transgression that you didn't do a positive commandment, or that you did a lav that isn't the chiyuv of kares, or a stricter capital crime. So tshuva is mechaperes on these alone. However, alachamuros, on more severe isurim that a person did, then tshuva alone only is hitola. It helps, it keeps a punishment in abeyance, ashiro yom kippurim yichaper, until Yom Kippur comes along and actually provides the kapara, the full kapara for the person. Misha continues and says, if a person mistakenly goes about his life with this philosophy, Omer, Echta v'yoshuv, Echta v'yoshuv, I'll sin, but then I'll do tshuva. I'll sin and then I'll do tshuva. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it that in my speaking beyond the last is tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not let him do tshuva, because this is the wrong approach. A person shouldn't sin with the intention that he'll do tshuva on it. That's incorrect. However, it is brought down that if this person does a true, honest tshuva, he realizes what he did is wrong, so then there's nobody that can't ever do tshuva. We have the famous statement from Chizkiyo HaMelech, that he says he has a Kabbalah from his great-great-great-great-grandfather, David HaMelech, that afilu cherev chuda munach agabi tzavar, if you have a sharp sword by your neck, it's never too late to do tshuva. The person says, "Ech tov Yom Kippur mechaper, I will sin, but don't worry, Yom Kippur will be mechaper for me." So then, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not let in Yom Kippur mechaper. HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't let Yom Kippur be mechaper for him. The Mishnah continues and says, "Averos shebein odom l'makom, averos that are between a person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu." There's three categories of averos. We normally classify as two, but there's really a third. There's averos bein odom l'makom, between you and God. There are averos bein odom l'chavero, between you and your friend. And then there's averos that are called bein odom l'atzmo. It's an interesting category, but not for now. In any event, the category of averos bein odom l'makom, between you and God, Yom Kippur mechaper. Yom Kippur can be mechaper for those sins. Averos, however, shebein odom l'chavero, as we all well know, those averos that are between man and his fellow man, ain't Yom Kippur mechaper. Yom Kippur won't work. Ad shiratzes chavero, until you ask forgiveness from that person that you sinned against. So if you insulted somebody, if you did something wrong to somebody else, so Yom Kippur can come and go. It's not going to help you until you ask the person for mechila. Darish Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the great Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, the pasuk tells us, Minkol chatosechem lefnei Hashem titaru, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you kapara for all the sins that you've done in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means, averosh bein odom l'makom, yom kippur mechaper, those sins that are between you and God, that are in front of God, b'nei Hashem, they'll be titoru. However, averosh bein odom l'chavero, ein yom kippur mechaper, at shiratzes chavero. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't give you mechila until you first ask your friend for forgiveness. Amar Rabbi Akiva says, Ashrechem Yisrael, whoa, praiseworthy are you, Klai Yisrael, you're very, very lucky. Lefnei mi atem mitarim, who gives you tahara? Mi mitar eschem, who goes and is mitar you? Avichem Shiva Shemaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our Father in heaven is always looking to make us pure. He's always looking to be the taras. Shenemar, Bizarakti Alechem, Mayim Tahorim Utahartem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll put the holy water on you, the Mayim Tahorim on you, and you will become tohar. V'omer, furthermore, it says, Mikvah Yisrael, Hashem, the mikvah for Klai Yisrael is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he's mataras. Just like ma mikvah mataras atzmeim, a mikvah is matara, a person whose tummy, when he immerses in it, to become tar, so too, af a Kodesh Baruch Hu kaviyochel, he's the mikvah for Klai Yisrael, who mataris Yisrael, he is matar all of us. Again, these are very, very deep concepts over here, but we're going to go weiter. Gemara says that we said in our Mishnah that an Oshem Vadai brings about a Kapara in. However, an Oshem Tali, an Oshem that is brought different than an Oshem Vadai. Oshem Vadai is brought for specific sins that a person did. As opposed to an Oshem Tali is, I'm not sure, did I or did I not chila eat chalev, so then you bring an oshem toli. So that's not mechaper. Oshem toli is not mechaper lo. V'ha kapara k'siva be, but it says kapara by an oshem toli. So what do you mean it's not mechaper? Someone says no. The oshem vaday hanach mechapre kapara gemura. That gives you your final full atonement. Achatos or an oshem vaday, they bring you final full atonement. There's nothing else in the process that needs to be done. As opposed to an oshem toli, it only holds things in abeyance. Ain't a mechaper kapara gemura. It doesn't give you a kapara gemura. The person doesn't know, did he or did he not eat chalev? So he brings the oshem toli, and if he never finds out, so it's held in abeyance. But let's say he finds out a year from now that he did eat the chalev. Somehow he finds out that he ate the chalev. Now he's chayv in achatas. So now the oshem toli doesn't help him anymore. That's teretz number one. Inami, alternatively, teretz number two, hanoch ein acher mechaper kaparosan. In the case of the chatas, in the case of the oshem vadai, that is it. That's what gives you your kapara. However, oshem toli, in regards to an oshem toli, as I just said, acher mechaper kaparosan. There is another carbon that you have to bring when you find out that you in fact did transgress that thing that you brought an oshem toli for. So you have to go bring that other carbon. There's none. Mishnah increases tells us, Chayove Chatos Yashomos Vadoy. If a person is obligated to bring a chatos because he definitely ate chalev, let's say, is obligated to bring an Oshem Vadai because he definitely did Me'ila. So he has to bring an Asha Me'ila, let's say. So, Sha'over Aleim Yom Kippurim. If Yom Kippur passes, so then Chayev, you're still obligated to bring those korbanos. The fact that Yom Kippur passed doesn't negate that you have to bring a korban chatos or your Oshem Vadai. As opposed to, however, Ashamos Toluyim, an Ashim Toli. If a person didn't bring his Ashim Toli and the Yom Kippur comes, so Yom Kippur can accomplish the same thing of holding your sin in abeyance until you find out did you or did you not eat the Chalev, so Pturim. So an Ashim Toli is one way to get Kapara or held in abeyance your Kapara. Yom Kippur can also do it. That's the Chiddush over here of why it tells us that an Ashim Toli, no, our Mishnah is only talking about an Ashim Vadai. Then our Mishnah said, Mitzav Yom Kippur Mechapim Mitzvah, that Mitzav Yom Kippur can bring a person a kapara, but only if he does tshuva. So the Gemara says, im tshuva in, mifnei asmelo, by itself not. So Yom Kippur itself, without tshuva, won't be mechaper. Misa itself won't be mechaper unless you also do tshuva. Neimo, the local Rebbe. So let us say, this our Mishnah is not like Rebbe. Why? What did Rebbe say? The Tanya, Rebbe Yomer, Rebbe said, I'll call out Erish B'Torah, if there's any sin that a person transgressed in the Torah, bein asa tshuva, bein lo asa tshuva, whether he did or he didn't do tshuva, Yom HaKippur mechaper. Here it says, mefarish, that Yom Kippur is mechaper. But the exception of chutz, mi porek ol. Now that's the gears that we have. If you look at the Masoros HaShas, he says in the Shiltos, it's brought down that it should be Mehaloeg Al Chaveiro instead of Porek Ol. Porek Ol means a person who's throwing off HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yoke, and a person who is Loeg Al Chaveiro is a person who ridicules, makes fun of his friend. So in any event, Yom Kippur is not going to be Mechaper for that type of a sin. Likewise, Yom Kippur will not be Mechaper Umagal upon the Torah. Somebody makes up stuff towards the Torah. He says this is the Halacha, or he makes fun of the Torah. So he's Megal upon the Torah. Likewise, Umefer Bris Basa, the person undoes his Bris Mila. There's a procedure, surgical procedure, and they used to do this in days of the Greeks when the people wanted to play in the Olympics, and they had to be naked and they played in the Olympics, and they were embarrassed about their Bris Mila. So there were Jews that were in Siavnim that would undo the circumcision, an epicircumcision. They would undo their circumcision, and this was a very painful procedure. So if anybody goes and does this, Umefer Bris Basa, so this person also, Yom Kippur, is not going to be Mechaper for these sins. Shemasa Tshuva Yom Kippur Mechaper. Only in these situations, if you do Tshuva, will Yom Kippur work. But otherwise, these sins, if lo asa tshuva, ain't Yom Kippur mechaper. So it's only for these sins that Yom Kippur alone is not mechaper. The implication is, however, that for all the other sins, Yom Kippur alone is mechaper, kasha on our Mishnah. So therefore, Rebbe is not the author of our Mishnah. So we says, no, I feel the same with Rebbe. Rebbe could be the author of our Mishnah. Because tshuva, boya, Yom Kippur, you could argue that tshuva alone won't work without Yom Kippur. However, Yom HaKippurim, lo boy tshuva. But you could argue that Rebbe holds that Yom Kippur itself does work, except for these sins that Rebbe mentioned, Yom Kippur does work even without doing tshuva. This is a good point to stop, so Be'ezus Hashem, we concluded today's shir. Thank you for listening.